I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello, this is the EFL Freezer Crowd podcast, where we take a light-hearted look at all things Football League.
You scumbaggy maggot, Matt Smith, Troy Parrott.
I'm James, lifelong COV fan, and I'm joined each week by self-proclaimed statman Luke and resident Millwall fan Andy.
Gary Monk sacked after a 0-0 draw with Millwall as well, although most clubs in the Football League would die for a result like that.
We'll be covering important news, a run through the games, and our all-important goal of the week.
Yes. 3-0 to the own goal.
So find us with a new episode each Monday on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
You're listening to Acton Millwall, broadcasting from the beautiful South Burnham. Accept no substitute.
Good morning, dear listeners. Welcome to Acton Millwall, number 326, if you can believe it. Dear listeners, actually more shows than that online because I've not counted in loads of other odds and sods and of material over time. But there we are. 326 is this number show. Joining me to discuss yesterday's 1-1 draw is the blue-clad Santa himself that we saw in the photos, Mr. Michael Avery. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Ho, 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 dear listener. I hope you're all well wherever you are.
I want to start off with that little photo sequence yesterday, Michael. I mean, you know, we as a club take a battering, obviously, in the court of public opinion. And we can talk about that till the cows come home. But yesterday's trip to Lewisham Hospital, I think it was, wasn't it, with the Lionesses, is an example of what the club does just as a matter of course. And we take it all in their stride. But you were involved in that jaunt down to Lewisham. So I just want to say well done to you, mate. Well, there's a really nice morning out, it looked like.
No, thank you very much. And it was a great day, in truth. There was quite a few of us who went down. Basically, last year we had the Santa Dash at the Den, which people took part in, which raised money and obviously funds for good causes. But due to the pandemic, unfortunately, we couldn't actually do that this year, or Community Trust couldn't do that this year, should I say. Yeah. But there was an alternate version. Speaking to Sean Daly, the Millwall Community Trust CEO, he mentioned doing a sort of Santa Dash in another way, where we would we'd all run to the Den, or from the Den, should I say, to Lewisham Hospital to raise some awareness for what they do. But also we donated some things like some mince pies for the residents and also those who are in hospital at the moment who are unwell. Also, a lot of water bottles have been donated to the hospital that have all got Millwall branding on, which is great, because apparently one of the issues during the pandemic was getting things like water bottles, because they had to be, you know, obviously cleaned and contaminated, all that sort of thing. Yeah, so that was something that's not just a case of, oh, here's a bottle, here's our name on. You know, it looks good. This is something
it's got to be done properly.
It's desperately needed. Yeah. Exactly. And also some calendars. So just to make those in the hospital feel better, in March they'll be seeing Jiří Skalák for 31 days.
Haven't they suffered enough, Michael? Oh, dear. No, well done for that. I mean, I also saw, I think the Community Trust were, giving away pie mash in conjunction with Manzies in Towerbridge Road. Shout out to Manzies, giving away pie mash to local, I think, elderly residents. And they were looking for volunteers to help pack it. So if you're in the area and you can help, I'm sure they would welcome any contact. Go to the Millwall Community Trust feed on Twitter for more details of that. But as we've said, you know, we the club and the fans combined do loads and loads of stuff, and it's often not such a handy story to for the media to latch on to. But we speak after yesterday's draw, Michael, which in a funny kind of way seemed to sum up the whole year of Millwall for me. A game given away slightly, hints of promise on occasion, and somehow we come away with something, but not quite as much as we thought we should have had. It almost sums up the year 2020 for me in many respects. How did you find yesterday's 1-1 draw of Nottingham Forest?
I think I have to agree with you there, because, obviously we had, we'll touch on the points in more detail in the game, or in the show, should I say, but you had the penalty, which should have been given. You had a good goal that was scored, great work by John Daddy, who's gone from the panto villain to actually like Aladdin star man. He's doing really well with him and Bradshaw linking up.
Yep.
And then literally as soon as you sit down from celebrating it, it's a really cheap ball over the top that cost us the 3 points. The Jed miss as well, which we'll touch on. But yeah, I do think, considering the run we was on prior to this, you'd say that 4 points out of a possible 6 wouldn't be bad going. But the way we got those 4 points, it is disappointing we've not got the full 6. So yeah, I do agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, it's as ever this season. I think we've, even during the bad run, there weren't many bad performances. I think Gary Rowett said that in the post-match interview. There weren't actually many really shocking performances. It's just we lack quality and we lack the ability to score goals. I mean, that's a fundamental part of a football match, but that's where it's kind of gone wrong. I'd say only one or two have been really poor performances, Middlesbrough being the prime candidate on that. And yesterday was a spirited performance, I thought. I like the new, I think Chris Hughton, the Forest manager, described us as a direct side. And I think there's probably been an attempt by Rowett to get away from that tag, Michael. But I think in many ways, I'd call it more simplified as a style of football. I think that we suit it better. I think the players are more comfortable. Everyone knows their place in this kind of format, and for better or for worse, it's probably our best card to play for what is left of this strange season now. So I don't mind the direct tag if the hat fits, wear it. I'd say certainly nice not to see such fussiness in midfield and balls being given away fundamentally, because I think that was where it's going wrong.
Yeah, no, you're right, and ultimately I know we said it on the, or you guys said it on the last show, and it was commented that, Rowett's come in, maybe he's not got the personnel to want to play the style he's got. But it's a little bit similar to a degree of the whole, if it's not broken, don't fix it kind of thing. The problem you have when you have new managers come in, or managers who want to use the club to obviously go on to bigger and better things, is they try to change sort of too much too quickly. And I think to a point, I know Rowett's had a little while now here, but you think of, you said before, with him having in speech marks, Neil Harris side. He needs to really start implementing his ideas once he's had a good clear out and actually brought in a good, decent amount of players that are his. So I think, for the time being, while it's getting results and it seems to be getting some positive performances, stick with the direct football and then gradually start bringing in these changes you want to bring in. You've got players there who like, or not like, but seem better for the more direct style. So yeah, if especially at the moment where we are struggling for points and we were struggling for performances, if that will get you out of a rut and put you in a position where you can actually then start thinking, I might change a few things here and there, then go for it. But it's working at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, football is fundamentally a series of individual games, so you can have a strategy, but unfortunately you're judged on the immediacy of the result and of the last game that you just played. Just talking about two Gary Rowett players that weren't in the squad, and I find this quite interesting, and I've not seen much comment on this, and I don't know if you've picked up on anything, Michael. I certainly haven't seen much on the social media at all about Ryan Woods and Scott Malone not being in the squad, not being in the match day unit. And, when you look at the bench, I know Ryan Woods has his critics, and Scott Malone has his critics. I don't mind them as players in the right 11, but certainly they've not looked like good fits in recent performances anyway, but not even on the bench. And you've got kids, you've got Hayden Muller, you've got Junior Tienza, you've got Tyler Bury, who we've seen a few times now. But for them to be occupying those spots over and above Ryan Woods and you know, these are experienced players at this level. I don't know if they're injured. It seems a strange one if they're not injured. I don't know if you read any more. Maybe I'm reading too much into it. Do you think I am? Am I going for the tea leaves theory of...
I think you're being slightly cynical, Nick.
That's not like me, either. It's not like me.
No, indeed. Yeah. I think I read somewhere that there was an injury or something. So I'm not 100% sure if it was to do with form. But one of the things I do like about Gary Rowett, let's say they are 100% fit, he's not scared to sort of drop people to give him a kick up the arse, or he's not scared to put people or youngsters on the bench if it feels it will get something out of other players. Ryan Woods is a luxury player. There's no doubt about that. You know, not often do the Millwall have the time to have a midfielder who actually, you know, wants to bring a ball down, have a look and spray a 30-yard pass. Yeah. And Scott Malone's a little bit of that sort of, not headless chicken is the wrong way of putting it, but he doesn't have the discipline defensively that Murray Wallace has. So it could be injury. Like you, I don't think they're sort of technically bad enough to deserve to have been dropped. And, you know, for those type of players, I always think that there is a place for them in the squad. Even if it is on the bench, they come off last 20 minutes, etc. But yeah, no, I think it might be the kick up the backside they needed. But do on the other foot, if you want to be positive, it's good to see our young sort of players getting a bit of experience on the bench and getting a few minutes here and there, isn't it?
Absolutely, it is. And, you know, whatever the background, maybe I'm falling into the soap opera theory of Millwall Football Club, dear listeners, but I've been around, like you, dear listener, you've been around a long time at Millwall, so soap opera is never far from the surface, the den. So we'll watch that unfold. We'll see what the 11 is for the next game, which I think is Bournemouth after Christmas, isn't it?
Yeah,
We'll see if those two feature for that.
Just to touch on the Ryan Woods, I think he's very much in danger. I think with Millwall, we always say there's a sort of Millwall type player, don't we? You know, you've got to be a certain quality to play for this club, and all the sort of narrative that goes around that. But I think that Ryan Woods could possibly be in danger of falling into that sort of Josh Wright or Ed Upson role at Millwall, where
that's like the tier four of the football scene, that isn't it?
that's like tier five of the football scene, isn't it? It can't get much worse than that. But in all seriousness, I think you can see there's a player there.
Oh, absolutely.
And you can see there's abilities. The same as Josh Wright. I always remember, like, I know he always got a bit of a bad run because of, you know, who his brother was and all that.
Yeah.
But there was a player there as well. It just didn't fit. And same as Ed Upson. When Ed Upson did play, he wasn't too bad. And, you know, when he did leave Millwall, I was quite surprised. But some players, it just doesn't seem to click. And I think Ryan Woods could be in danger of it being like that for him, because he clearly is a talented boy. There's no denying it.
They're both talented players. Let's not be silly about it. Whether they're Millwall players is another matter. That's open to question. I mean, the other thing that is very, very Millwall, I mean, apart from the soap opera alert that forever bubbles under the surface, is we have a strong innate need for a scapegoat. And I think Ryan Woods is falling into the kind of the Ian Holloway witchcraft pincushion, you know, where you can have it in your inner corner of you and you can stick pins into it just to kind of vent your own pain at some of the performances we've seen recently. It's up to him. I mean, if he's injured, that's fair enough. None of us are privy to that. But I just found it an intriguing double drop for whatever reason. Two experienced players there. I've got to talk about the handball, Michael, which came about 3 or 4 minutes into the game, which was as clear a handball under the modern definition of the offence as you're going to see. And for some reason, yet another shockingly poor referee doesn't give it. I don't know where we go with this, really. I mean, none of us want VAR, but you know, that was a penalty. That should have been a penalty. That would have changed the course of the game almost certainly, and we don't get it. And I find that I think I'm finding it boring. I mean, you just keep saying the same things. How many times have we said that this season?
I know it was absolutely disgraceful, really. I mean, I watched it again a few times, like watched it back. I'm a sucker for punishment, dear listener. So, you know, I'm one of the people who watches YouTube videos of bad things happening. But I just I mean, there was even a bit of me where I was watching it thinking, could you excuse possibly the fact that maybe it wasn't a goal-bound effort? But then you're thinking, well, then you get crosses blocked for handball and they're not on target.
No,
so, absolutely. You're right. So it was an appalling decision. It was appalling because you can't even say as well, like, well, you know, normally when someone gets hacked down in the first 5-10 minutes, they normally don't get booked. They just get a very stern telling off the whole, well, if this was an hour later, you'd be in the book by now, so we'll let one go. You can't even say that. It's a stonewall penalty. And no matter how you try and defend it, it's just indefensible. But I just think the referee was poor overall yesterday, because I remember that, was it Samba? I can't remember who it was. But he got booked in on the half hour mark when, you know, like, he was running back, he had his arms up, someone cut across him, and to be fair to him, he had his arms up before he'd, like, you know, there was even any contact made, and the ref instantly pulls out the card and books him. So as horrendous as the penalty was, and you can't really sort of compare it to anything else that was given for us, it just was a poor refereeing performance. And I think the stats at half-time as well, weren't it? Something like 5 yellow cards.
Yeah, he was half-time.
That's atrocious. That's atrocious for a sort of professional referee to be given that many cards just at half-time. You know, you'd think it was Christmas with all the cards going around.
It was a shocking performance. And the cards, I mean, I was amazed that we still had both sides had 11 players on the pitch by the end of it, because I thought, you know, the number of cards he was handing out for relatively minor infringements in the game, you thought, well, if someone's going to get a second yellow, you're going to get a number of players walking off the pitch the way, if he's consistent. But of course, it wasn't a dirty game. It was a full-on contest in tough English conditions, but it wasn't a dirty game by any stretch of the imagination. And, you know, with the yellow cards he was dishing out, you'd have had two or three red cards by the end of the game. It just wasn't a game that would have justified it. I wonder whether the fourth official maybe had a word with him, because he seemed to calm down. I think it's one of the effects, Michael, that not having any fans in the den, because, you know, the crowd would have been on that referee's case. As soon as that penalty wasn't given, he would have been public enemy number one for the afternoon. And yeah. Yeah, it can go one of two ways. It can either start to work in your favour or work it against you. But certainly it would have been a hectic afternoon's, a torrent of vitriol being dished down upon him. But in the cold, calm kind of atmosphere of an empty den, I think he had a chance to turn the temperature down a little bit in his own decision-making. And, towards the end of the game, he wasn't so bad, but certainly that was a shocker of a first half. And a clear handball, penalty not given. It's a game of very little, you know, comparatively little chances other than that talking point. I mean, I know the second half opened well with a really nice goal, in all honesty, by the kind of budding partnership. Is this a partnership, Bradshaw and Bavarsson? Is this a partnership yet in your eyes? I noted down there as B&B, like a new kind of... you know, a new double act up front. It'd be great if it works, if it is so. So they look quite good together, I thought.
Yeah, well, I actually noted, Dan, it's strange how he's gone from John Baddie to Daddy Cool in the matter of only a couple of games, isn't it?
A week is a long time at Millwall.
indeed. You can see I'm trying to get the puns in as well, can't you? But I think they seem to work very well together. They're clicking well together. And Bradshaw, I mean, I've always been a supporter of him as a player. When people giving him stick a little while ago, I was behaving like I was his mum, the way I was defending some of the chances he was missing and everything. But I mean, he clearly, again, is another player who has clear talent when he gets the service. You know, that's two chances he's had now. And there's two clear cut chances he's had, and two that have gone in. He scored 2-2. He's a good striker. The style of play now seems to be playing to Bodvarsson's strengths as well.
Yes, where it does. Seems yes,
to be a bit more of a dogged performance, you know. Yep. And again, are we now? Is it now sort of coming to fruit, if you will? So, is it too quick to say that they're a good partnership? Possibly. You know, we need to see it about in another 2, 3, 4 more games' time. You know, a consistent run. I think it's working, but also let's jump on the Nick Hart bus of cynicalism. There's a transfer window coming, and John Daddy's picking up some form.
Well, that may be it. It'd be wonderful if if this is a partnership that clicks and works. And you're right; it's only a couple of games into this nascent partnership, and we wait to see with interest. I think it's interesting to see the difference that the new style has made to the whole side, because we are probably a more logical side for a group of players with our quality, and we have to be up front and say that we, you know, I think they're a willing bunch of blokes, but they're not top quality, as the equaliser showed almost seconds after.
We're crap, but we try.
That could be the Millwall Club motto. I actually missed the goal. I went up to go and put the kettle on. I thought, great, we're 1-0 up. I'll just stick the kettle on, get a cup of tea going. And when I came back, all I could see was the aftermath of the goal. So I only saw it on the replay, but it looked like a pretty basic long ball right down the middle, you know, kind of Wimbledon style from 1988, which seemed to completely befuddle the defence. A very soft goal, a very frustrating goal. And, you know, how Jake Cooper and Sean Hutchinson did not deal with that as meat and drink is beyond me. Really soft goal, it was described on TV, and I think that's best you can say about it, Michael.
Yeah, and it is unfortunate for them, because you know you get some players who not, what's the wrong word? You can't sort of say like deserve it, but they get caught out with things like that, or that's a weak point of their game. But I mean, those two have been so steady this season, especially when we've been so poor at times. You know, because as much as Gary Rowett said, you know, we've not had poor performances, there haven't been some good ones. And if it wasn't for those two, and I'm just going to say Barzan and Govin, but Bielkowski and goal, then we would have been in a lot more trouble. So you sort of look at those and you feel a little bit sorry for them, because you think they don't deserve that. But again, football is a cruel, cruel game, as we all know. You know, you switch off for a second at any level you'll concede. But yeah, you shoot yourself in the foot, because again, you've got John Daddy up front with Bradshaw, who's you know, they're making chances, or they're making efforts out of nothing, really. And then
I describe it energy, because we actually didn't create many chances. We had a fantastic chance that fell to Jed on 51 minutes, which was a really intelligent ball through from John Daddy, which is another interesting strand to his game. Who knew that he was... didn't really know what kind of game he had, because he didn't show it. But he looked quite a player willing to challenge for a header, and a player willing to pick a decent pass yesterday. It's an intriguing development in the John Daddy Budvarsson story, just as January's transfer window beckons. You're dead right, but that was Gary Rowett described Jed's he didn't quite shoot, he didn't quite cross, he didn't quite do anything, but he described that as lack of confidence. And I think probably the whole team is still feeling its way back into a style that they can live with. And in a game of few chances, Michael, you just can't afford to miss those ones, can you?
No. And we always said it about the difference between League One and the Championship. In League One, if you're a good side, you'd get 5, 6, 7 chances a game. I mean, I think that was, all jokes aside, not poking fun, but why Gregory probably seems so deadly at League One level and not in the Championship, because, you know, he didn't get as many chances. But it, as you say, it proves that yesterday we had no real chances, you know, aside from the goal and that Jed effort. I know Leonard had one late on in the game that got tipped over nicely. But the higher up the divisions you go and the higher up the pyramid you go, the more these chances get taken away from you, and you've got to be
clinical.
You've got
to take them.
Because if you miss it, as it shows at this level, and a classic example yesterday, you miss one, you don't get many other chances, and therefore you lose your points that you worked hard to get, you know. And the thing is, we say we know players, like we think we know Jed, or from what we see him on the pitch, he'll be kicking himself that he missed that. I mean, I'd rather he kicked it in than kicking himself, but he'll be disappointed he's missed that, and he'll probably sort of half need an arm around him. But again, he's been a player who's similar to Hutchins and Cooper. I don't think he deserves that. I think he sort of deserved that to go in. So he just needs to dust himself off and go again, as the cliche says.
True. I want to be positive. I want to leave the yesterday's game on a positive. I mean, there was a very late chance, a volley, I think, from a shot from distance from Ryan Leonard on 90+3. It was tipped over by the goalkeeper, which would have been a nice, if that had gone in. But One thing I do want to stress on the positive side, Michael, is over the course of the game, apart from giving Nottingham Forest that equaliser, which is kind of effectively what it was, they didn't create any clear-cut chances. I've got no clear-cut chances for Forest. I know that on TV, the commentary were saying how they looked dangerous going forwards. And I suppose in a similar way to us, we looked dangerous going forwards without creating clear-cut chances. And so it was for them, maybe one half chance on 77 minutes. I've got a bit of ping-pong in the Millwall box when that was cleared. But it's a good defensive performance apart from one aberration, really, which is a very odd, very Millwall combination of events. I like the energy of the team. I don't want to kind of make out that this was a fantastic footballing extravaganza yesterday, everyone didn't see it, but it was just good to see a Millwall team get stuck in and show a bit of fight and bite at home. And you know, in a tight game, we probably should have edged it and didn't. And that's refreshing, because you know that's what went off the boil a little bit in that awful 10 game run with no wins at all.
Yeah, we were lost in that 10 game run, and we've got a sense of an identity back.
That's a good way to put it.
I have to admit as well, it was refreshing, as you say, to see. It wasn't a particularly good game attack wise, as you mentioned. You know, there was very little. At least another positive, the iFollow didn't go down.
It sounds like a first world problem when you start to complain about the direction, the ethics and values of the director of the football TV show yesterday. But there was one moment, there was a Millwall attack was on, and we seemed to linger for about a minute on Stephen Reid in the Forest away dugout. And we all love Reedy, and he's always welcome at the Den, but I don't need to look at him for a minute whilst we're on the attack and possibly going to get a goal scoring chance going, you know, possibly.
Exactly. One other positive I'd like to take as well. I thought again, Parrott was good. There was a couple of moments when he was on the ball, he held up really nicely. I can't remember the exact minute now, but I remember there was one point where he actually brought the ball down, looked up, dropped a shoulder, beat a man, and played it out wide. And you think, for a boy of what, 18?
Oh, he's clearly
that was good to see.
He's clearly got ability. Very talented. Yeah. He's finding his place in. And sorry, Will. He's only 18, so he's in a very, very tough environment. I still think he's not quite found his place in the side, or he doesn't quite have his role yet. I think, you know, we hope that will be coached into him over the remainder of his loan term at the Den. We're going to take a short break, dear listeners. We're going to have a listen to the voicemails from the chaps, and then we'll be right back after that. I'm just going to run over a few of the internet comments with you, Michael. We'll be back after these messages.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
You're listening to After Millwall.
Well, it's another draw for the Championship draw specialists.
I thought it was another good performance overall today. Very scrappy first half. You know, how the referee missed that penalty for handball is beyond me. It was one of the most blatant handballs I've ever seen. Absolutely disgrace. But, you know, it really came to life, I guess, in the second half, and we scored an excellent goal. I mean, John Daddy Bodvarsson, whatever Rowett's been putting in his water, I want to drink some of that because he was absolutely excellent today. I mean, the only other really good chance that we made was an excellent through ball from Bodvarsson, and then Jed almost looked like he was caught in two minds on whether to shoot or cross, and he did neither in the end. Interesting omissions from the squad, I guess, without Ryan Woods and Scott Malone. I mean, I'm supportive of this decision because we are playing better without those two players, but it is quite interesting. I don't know whether they maybe have a knock or if it was just a selection choice, but I think we're playing better without them, so, you know, they shouldn't be in the side. I mean, overall, it is disappointing if you look at where Nottingham Forest are in the table and we're playing them at home. You know, that's probably a team that we should be beating. But at the moment, because we've been on such a horrible, you know, terrible run of form and only turning that round midweek, I guess a good performance and a point isn't the end of the world. And, you know, I'm starting to be a bit more positive. I think things are looking up. But, yeah, tough game against Bournemouth on Boxing Day. That's going to be a real test. And I would be quite happy if we continue to be the draw specialist in the league if we get a point against them. Can't you, Lions?
Another draw for Millwall, and it's becoming all too regular now. I think Gary Rowett probably says the same thing after every match, where we were probably the better side, probably could have won the game, but didn't have enough to win. First half, I thought, was as bad as we've played of late. I mean, there's a lot of performances you can pick out, but we were really, really poor, really sloppy. There was no sort of attacking idea. The defence was fine, but Forest were really, really poor. They looked like a side that are going to struggle in a relegation battle, to be honest. They don't look like they have many ideas. But second half was a lot better. Bradshaw and Bodvarsson both linked up well. Little bright spark there, I guess, if going forward they're going to be the go-to strike partnership. I like having Ryan Leonard back in the side. He adds that thrust and a bit of tackling and a bit of energy in the midfield, which I think Millwall have missed when he was out of the team. But other than that, just a really, really shit bit of defending to let Forest score just a minute after we've taken the lead was literally their only opening all game, and it's so typical of where Millwall are at the moment to let that one in. Other than Jed's chance, which was a really, really bad miss, to be honest, caught between having a cross and a shot when he really should have just at least tested the keeper, but in the end just passed it off the pitch. Other than that, there was no real clear-cut opportunity for Millwall. So I think in an attacking sense, we really need to come up with some ideas. I think we were quite poor going forward, to be honest, throughout the game, other than the goal, which was a good bit of work from Bodvarsson. But same old problems every week at the moment. Definitely need to do something about it in January. I think an attacking midfielder who can unlock a defence, who can, you know, put their foot on the ball and dictate the play a little bit is 100% what we need. Someone we can orchestrate attacks through. I think we don't have a 10 in the side that can do that. Thompson really isn't cutting it. And when he is on form, he doesn't pass. He gets in the box. So definitely need someone there. Other than that, I think there's, other than just adding squad depth and not having injuries, that's pretty much it. But I mean, since the day Rowett walked into the door, we've needed that position and we haven't done anything to address it yet. So hopefully in January we see a bit of a change, and hopefully it'll be the catalyst for some good form next year.
Hello, Nick. Barry Mooney again. Just to say how pleased it was to see that performance last night, and I'm pleased for Gary Rowett. Too many people were calling for his head, which I thought was ridiculous. But certain players out there showed us what they can do. It's about time. And plus, now reading it today, the Referees Association admitted that Millwall should have had 3 penalties in the Blackburn game. What would that have done to our season if we'd have got those and gone on to win that game? It might change the whole format of what we've gone through now. Anyway, that's my rant. All right, have a good one, mate.
Just to clarify, Barry's message did, of course, come from the midweek win at Bristol. Back to the show.
You're listening to Acton Millwall.
Welcome back, dear listeners. Big thank you to the boys for their voicemails. If you want to leave me a message, dear listener, do. We've got an answer phone machine set up. Not physical. It's not actually physically set up. We live in a digital age now, don't we? It's an online concept. But 0208 144 0232. Tell me who you'd put into the team, who you'd put out of the team in the January transfer window. Who are your ins and who are your outs in the January transfer window? And any messages that don't include expletives, I'll if they're good ones and they do include expletives, I might run them anyway. But leave us a message. We want to hear from you. I want to run a few comments from the net past you, Michael, before we close out, mate. Forest boss Chris Hughton says it was a fair result. We were playing against a very direct team. I don't know. Are we a very direct team now? I wouldn't have said we were. It doesn't feel like a very direct style that we've got. We've just got a little bit more willingness to put balls into areas for forwards to chase. If that makes us direct, I suppose we'll have to wear it. But I'm not sure we're quite at that level yet, are we?
No. I think that's. I like Chris Hughton, and when we was a little bit backwards and forwards before Rowett arrived, who the manager would be. I think he was available at the time. Hughton, wasn't he? I said I'll have him at the Denver. No, I can't see what he's trying to say there. I think he's trying to sort of half still paper over the cracks that are at Forest, because there's obviously still issues there. You know, there's obviously still problems that he needs to work on, and sort of do that by sort of deflecting, not the blame if you will, by deflecting some of the attention to another style. I think that's why he's done it. I don't think we're any more direct, as you say, than we were under sort of Neil Harris, and that's not knocking Neil Harris's style, but we're certainly not that long ball team that we were when we were called direct then. Definitely not.
You're wrong, Chris. That's right. I mean, they've got some decent players. I mean, two players that are both ex-Millwall in their different ways, Lewis Graben and late Lyle Taylor came in. I mean, both good players. Let's be adult about it. But not both looked slightly out. They looked lost. I mean, Graben had no influence, and even Taylor, when he came in late, didn't have much of an influence. There's a lot of decent players at Nottingham Forest, but no team cohesion. There's a very strange position it must be for him to find himself in. But maybe that, as you say, maybe that direct jibe is a method of trying to take away the sour taste from his side. Gary Rowett says we have got to be more clinical. Jed has had a moment where we should put the game to bed. Maybe it shows lack of confidence. We've touched on that already. Tony Monday says a disappointing result, but I can't argue with that performance. We dominated the second half and really deserved the win. I think we did deserve to win that, Michael. Should have won it, really. If maybe that's why it feels a bit painful, because it's points lost, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, because as we said with the goal and the taking the chances, it was, and we're sort of our flogging a dead horse here, but it was a very, very, very bad defensive error. Our goal was a very, very worked goal between two centre forwards, and theirs was a very, very, very bad goal.
There was a difference.
Yeah. You know, and that's the difference. So it weren't as if we played and we were like, well, to be fair, we were quality, but that 20-yard screamer they put in the top corner, no one was saving that. It was awful defending when we switched off. So that's why it feels a bit more painful.
Praise from Tony for Bodvarsson, who was excellent. He says, and Ryan Leonard, let's mention Ryan Leonard, Michael, because he's become a bit of a boot, you know, a punch bag online at times. And I thought he made one or two really decent runs. The opinion seems to vary on his quality, but I thought it was a committed performance by Ryan Leonard yesterday. Some really nice surging runs, which I love to see.
Yeah, he's a good player, and he had a stop-start to his career at Millwall when he first signed. He obviously had the pressure of the price tag on his head as well, which for most other clubs isn't a lot of money, but for us it is. He seemed to be a little bit of the fall boy when it was going wrong when Rout dropped him. I think it was Ryan. Was it Ryan who said it last week that he probably didn't do bad enough to be dropped, but someone had to be. So unfortunately it was him, or words to those effects. So I think I paraphrased Ryan there. But yeah, he's come back in. He's taken the ball by the horns, and he has talent, and he can hit a ball from like 30 yards, which is a decent,
decent weapon
to have in your arsenal.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just to give the other side of the coin on the Ryan Leonard question, listeners, Phil Clark asks Tony, are you being serious? Not quite, well, it's rooted on paraphrasing. Are you being serious? Ryan Leonard has to be one of the worst passers in the division. His other work is great, but he gives the ball away too often, too cheaply. I think possibly that's a squad flaw for me, Phil. I don't know. Ryan Leonard is part of that squad, and I think I pin that on a lot of other players too. If we're going to be honest. Richard Cawley, yeah,
just blame Skalek.
Who came into the game yesterday and had very little influence, but he did at least appear, so it's good to see him. But Varson having his best spell in the Mill shirt, says Richard Cawley, been involved in plenty of their attacking play. Man of the match on TV, I think it's probably a fair call for man of the match. Would you take him as your most valuable player yesterday?
I'd say so.
John Hedges says spirited performance, agreeing with me actually on Lions, certainly spirited, but too little real testing of the Forest goalkeeper. And I think that's been a point we've made and Gary Rowett's made. And a vulnerable defence leading to a woeful opposition goal. He also queries the substitutions, as does Tony Evans actually. So subs at 89 minutes, says John, and Tony Evans says wrong subs at wrong time. We were on top when Rowett made the substitutions. Don't know. I suppose some of those players will be burned out. I mean, Bob Varson looked pretty, grateful to be coming off the pitch, and it was heavy conditions yesterday. Rain, driving Bermondsey day under the grey sleet skies of South Bermondsey. It must have been a tough, full on, athletic experience for them yesterday. I guess that was part of the decision making.
Yeah, you say that. Funny enough, I made a. Because I obviously made a few notes prior to this recording as well. I made a similar thing. I said 290-minute subs when at 1-1 should only really make those type of subs when winning and trying to hold on to a lead. If you're chasing the game and chasing the points, you don't bring on two players on 90 minutes, in my opinion. So I do sort of half mirror what they say. I see your point. I see your point with the heavy conditions and being burned out, etc. But I don't. Not 90-minute substitutions when you're drawing isn't really something I would do personally, but it's a modern game now, Nick, and I'm slowly becoming a dinosaur as much as I'm only 34 years old.
Aren't we all, mate? Well, there we are. I think we've done yesterday's game to death. Last game before Christmas, and if you're looking for that little stocking filler, which we all are, Michael, aren't we? We're always looking for a stocking filler. Why not consider the Achtung Millwall calendar, which is available right now on the Millwall Supporters Club shop site. Big thank you to the MSC for hosting that. Again, it's a massive help to me. I've done a kind of a historical calendar featuring some of the players and personalities that featured in our summertime lockdown podcast with Neil Fissler, historical players from the kind of Victorian era, the pre-First World War, post-First World War era. Some real great names and characters on there. And the profits will support the Melzer House Kids Hospice and the Mill Community Trust that do the kind of fantastic work that we spoke about at the start of today's show. So do have a look on the MSC site. I'll stick a link on the show notes for that. It'll help you count down the days till Tier 4 ends, Michael. We don't know when that's going to be at the moment, do we? The current lockdown here in the UK.
Oh, God.
In London town. So there we are. It's a happy Tier 4 Christmas being wished to all of our listeners around the world. Big thank you to Michael Avery for taking time out on his Sunday to join the show. I don't know, wherever you're listening in this world, let's hope that you get through as good a Christmas as you can possibly have. We'll be back next week after the Bournemouth away game, which I think is that a Boxing Day game, Michael? I can't remember. 27th, is it? I think it might be.
Somewhere around there.
After Christmas. So until then, I think from all of the chaps on Achtung Millwall, it's been a funny old year so far, but we've got some more shows yet to do before the year completes. And I know from you, Michael, too, it's going to be wishing all of our listeners a very happy Christmas. And we'll be back after the festive season. Until then.
Yeah. Bye for now.
Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to Achtung Millwall. If you enjoyed the show, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a cheeky little review. A river to Achtung Millwall. Till next time.
Hold up. Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.